Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke!
Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Minus the Brian this afternoon. So just one talking head on this Tuesday afternoon. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across a variety of civic media radio stations here in Madison, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. You may also be listening in Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, in Richland Center on Radio From the Center, WRCE 1450 AM, 107.7 FM, and in Amory, Wisconsin, on Lake Air, and that's WXCE 1260 AM. How you doing, Evan? I didn't forget any of the call signs or the numbers.
Man, it's a list. It is a list. You know what? I say we just sort of make a pre-roll of that. We can just make the show. We can just read the frequencies.
Well, Brian and I have joked that, you know, once he gets done doing all the behind-the-scenes work, it's just going to be maybe about 2 minutes of content, and the rest is just going to be him doing call signs. So, folks, welcome to the show. If you want to share your tangent, 844-967-2789. I'm going to be joined this hour by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation... Excuse me. It's a Tuesday that feels like a Monday. So, the Recombobulation Area, an excellent independent newsletter, I guess. It is an excellent area to subscribe to on Substack. And so, you want to follow the Recombobulation Area if you do not already. But Dan Schaefer is going to be joining me from 2:20 until the end of the show, because, folks, if you're unaware, Election Day is 5 weeks from today. We're 5 weeks out, 35 days from the November midterm elections. And so Dan's been hard at work doing some analysis of all of the down ballot races. So we'll talk about those, we'll probably get into some of the top of the ticket races as well. But if you want to join me, share your tangent before Dan gets here, 844-967-2789. I'm back from the road. I had an excellent trip out west and feeling recharged and ready to go over these next 5 weeks. So I'm looking forward to covering everything that's going to be happening between now and then. And there's a number of headlines that I was getting caught up on, and I've got a number of headlines that I want to share with you folks as well that may have broken you weren't aware of yet this afternoon, because we got some current lawsuits. Of course, there's always some lawsuits here in Wisconsin. It's one of the fine methods that conservatives and their Republican allies use for trying to stop progress. So again, that number, 844-967-2789. But over the weekend, one of the things that caught my eye, tried to completely unplug, didn't want to see any of the news stories as I left the state last Thursday. I was cleansing my body of Fred Prehn, of Robin Voss, of Tony Evers, of it all. I was not thinking one bit about Wisconsin politics. And so I was pretty good about staying off of all of the social media, staying away from any news updates. Followed the Packers and the Badgers. It was pretty upsetting Badger game to listen to. Packer game was pretty lively, I guess, just to say the back and forth between the scores, but Mason Crosby took care of business. And outside of that, I wasn't really paying attention to a whole lot of what was going on here in Wisconsin. And one of the things I did briefly, I did break down, I opened up the Twitter app, and I saw that Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson would not commit to accepting the results of the 2020 election. We're 5 weeks away. It was just over 5 weeks away. They wouldn't commit to accepting the results that some people are already casting ballots in. There are absentee ballots being sent in. And the two top of the ticket members cannot commit. Immediately saw that, closed out the app and was like, okay, I'm done. I can't do that. I'm going to stay completely unplugged until last night. Started tuning in, knew that I would be talking about headlines, getting the news ready for the day here back in Madison. And to find out, we had the legislative session scheduled, the special session called by Governor Evers the end of last month for both the state Senate and state assembly to discuss a proposal that Senator Johnson floated. It was his idea. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson said, well, the people of Wisconsin should decide how abortion is addressed here in the state. It should be directly left up to them. But Wisconsin doesn't allow a direct referendum to be binding law. You can do advisory referendum here in Wisconsin. And so Governor Tony Evers called Senator Johnson's bluff about 2 weeks ago and said, fine, I'm going to call a special session and allow for direct democracy to take place in Wisconsin. I'm going to call on the Republican-led legislature to pass a bill that would allow Wisconsinites the legal authority to pass binding referendum. That legal that special session was gaveled in and gaveled out by both legislative chambers earlier today. Mere seconds were talked about. Nothing was talked about. And the session was open, the session was closed. That was all that was taken care of at the Wisconsin State Capitol. So Governor Evers and his allies held a rally. Looked like a good-sized crowd. Rallied for abortion rights here in Wisconsin at the state capitol this afternoon. Some of the other headlines from this morning. Senator Ron Johnson is continuing to double down on downplaying the January 6th Capitol insurrection that took place January 6th, 2021. Again, reiterated a point that he's made in the past, saying that it was not an armed insurrection, despite the fact that we now have on record through the J6 committee hearings that Donald Trump knew his supporters were armed when he spoke to them at the ellipse outside of the White House near the National Mall.
Get those bleeping mags out of here.
I don't care if they're armed. Let them through, I believe was the quote. Now, I may be paraphrasing. That's not a direct quote. But he was aware that there were weapons on his supporters. Police chatter by D.C. police on that day, January 6, 2021. Talked about how there were individuals with AR-15s in the trees. They did not have the officer size. They did not have enough officers through National Guard, through D.C. police, through Capitol Police, through everything. There was not a large enough police presence that day to be able to remove all of those weapons that were seen and reported in the crowd of Trump supporters on January 6th. Senator Ron Johnson says, well, no weapons were apprehended, so it wasn't an armed insurrection, and then downplays the fact that flagpoles were used as weapons and the fact that officers died that day. Senator Johnson today, speaking at the Milwaukee Rotary Club, downplayed the fact that insurrectionists used flagpoles as weapons against Capitol Police on January 6th. So he's not certain about accepting the results that his election, his name, will be on the ballot for this November. And he's downplaying the insurrection. And now we've got the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty also doing some moves today because they want to get in the headlines. There's so much going on, so much to pay attention to. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty is now suing the Biden administration to stop student loan forgiveness. On behalf of Green Bay taxpayers, this is a headline breaking within the last hour over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Green Bay taxpayer group sues Biden administration over student loan forgiveness plan. The conservative Wisconsin Institute, reading from the piece written by Kelly Meyerhoff at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. A conservative Wisconsin law firm on Tuesday sued to overturn President Joe Biden's plan to cancel up to $20,000 in student debt for millions of borrowers, the latest in a flurry of lawsuits nationally that allege the move is unfair and unwise. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, also known as WILL, filed a lawsuit against Biden and the U.S. Education Department in U.S. District Court in Green Bay. On behalf of the Brown County Taxpayers Association, the Taxpayers Association promotes limited government and includes more than 100 members who pay federal taxes and are, quote, on the hook to pay for Biden's plan. So we've got top of the ticket, Republican candidates refusing to acknowledge election results for the elections that their names will be on. They will not say whether or not they will support the election outcome. We've got the senator, senior senator from Wisconsin, doubling down on his downplaying of the January 6th violence, the insurrection violence that occurred at the U.S. Capitol. And now we've got a conservative law firm suing to stop the student debt forgiveness on, I would say, some pretty shaky legal grounds. But we're going to get dive into that in a little bit more as we go on here in the show. But these races, gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels, U.S. senatorial candidate Ron Johnson, those may not even be the most important races here in Wisconsin this November, because we've got down ballot races that may decide whether or not who's in the governor will even have the veto power. We've got other states around the nation that may determine the outcome of the makeup of the U.S. Senate. So yes, both the senatorial and gubernatorial elections are very important, but the down ballot races here in Wisconsin are also extremely important. And Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area has been doing some analysis of those races. So we're going to be joined by Dan every Tuesday from now until Election Day. We got 5 weeks left. 5 weeks left until Wisconsinites go to the polls on Election Day. And some very consequential races will be had. And so we're going to talk to Dan on the other side of this break. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but we got Evan on the board, Hugh on the phone lines, and Dan Schaefer joining us next. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. He's off allegedly being Clark Kent. I think he's Superman. He's putting together an array of different things here at Civic Media. So if you want to find out what Brian's up to and what he's working on next, go to civicmedia.us to learn more. But now I'm joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, keeping me company while Brian is out. Dan, how you doing this afternoon?
Doing well, Luke. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate you being able to take some time out of your afternoon and join me here on the airwaves. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Wisconsin in Richland Center. You're listening to Radio in the Center. In Amory, Wisconsin, you're listening to Lake Air. In Madison, you're listening to Devil Radio. And in Waukesha, you're listening on the Shaw 101 FM. And Dan, one of the... I knew it was coming because you did this 2 years ago. And so you did some excellent analysis, and I think that was one of the first pieces of yours that I found and then started following the work that you're doing. Was in 2020, a breakdown of all of the assembly races, all of the state Senate races. And I was like, wow, this is impressive. It was thorough, it was detailed, and it was extremely helpful to know a lot about down ballot races that don't necessarily get a whole lot of attention. Since then, over the last 2 years, I've enjoyed following all of the work that you've been doing out of Milwaukee and here in Wisconsin as a whole. And so I'm really excited over the next 5 weeks. We've got 35 days until Election Day, and an hour is sometimes not enough. So every Tuesday, we're going to have you join us on the show. Hopefully, most Tuesdays, Brian will be here, but today he's not. But I wanted to hear kind of your thought process on why the analysis that you're doing the way you're doing it, and share a little bit more with the listening audience on that.
Yeah, sure. So, like you mentioned, I previewed all 116 races in the Wisconsin State Legislature, which, you know, the Recombobulation Area is the only publication in Wisconsin crazy enough to do something like that. But what it what I think is really important about it, and as we get into the home stretch of this election season, is that democracy is built from the ground up. And I think you start at these down ballot races, you start at the local level, and then you work your way up. And I think taking a look at the Assembly and the Senate and each individual race really gives you a picture of where the battlegrounds are in Wisconsin, you know, where the swing districts are, and where the, you know, where people will be campaigning in this home stretch. And, you know, it was a daunting task to put such a thing together. I haven't had a lot of sleep over the last couple of weeks, but I think it's really important because not only does it give you this look at the kind of ground up mentality of democracy in Wisconsin, but I think the state legislature is really, really important. And the state legislature has far reaching powers in the state of Wisconsin. You know, this is not a state with a lot of local control. This is a state where the legislature has, you know, kind of consolidated a lot of power in the state over the last decade plus, removing some of the powers from the governor and what have you. And so I think it's really important to look at every individual district and see how that plays into the larger political landscape of the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. And a lot of people, maybe if they don't pay attention to Wisconsin politics all that often, they're inclined to go vote. They exercise their right to vote, but they're not paying attention to the 24/7 news cycle that some of us may be paying attention to. And so some of those people just think it's a 50-50. There's both sides, Democrats, Republicans, they're very similar. I'll kind of tune in maybe a month out from the election day and then make my decision there. And this analysis, I think, is a great indicator that it's not necessarily a 50-50 toss-up. Wisconsin's not a 50-50 toss-up state everywhere in the state. And you go through and you identify these places, and we're going to dive into it a little bit further in the next segment. But when it comes down to, as you referenced, like local control and the consolidation of power, the absence of local control, and the consolidation of power here in Madison, who comprises the majority and the minority in the legislature is going to have a lot of outcomes when it comes to how the next 2 years or even longer will be here in Wisconsin. And so paying attention to these races, I think, is super important. So before we dive deep into the analysis, let's give the listeners a plug on how can they find out where to find your work, and they can read it all about the 116 legislative races that you've done some analysis for.
Yeah, so again, the publication is called The Recombobulation Area. It is indeed named after the famous post-security area in the Milwaukee airport. And you can find me publishing on Substack. I'm also on Twitter at Dan R. Schaefer. And, you know, I also partnered with Milwaukee Record to take a closer look at some of the Milwaukee specific races in the legislature as well. So there's a lot to really dig into, and I built this preview really for people to have it to be somewhat interactive. So there's a link to every candidate's campaign page. You can go through and look at everything there. I also used, you know, some data, some reporting to really build out, you know, the projections for each seat, where each seat leans, and, you know, just what I've been hearing from talking to folks who are in the mix in Wisconsin state politics. So there's really a lot to get to, and it's designed not to be something that you necessarily have to sit down and read all in one sitting. It's the type of thing that you can come back and reference throughout the campaign as things unfold, as these races heat up, as things enter the news cycle.
Yes, I was checked out for the long weekend. Thursday night, I hit the road for a road trip, got back late last night, and your analysis of the Assembly race was the last thing that I read before going out of town on Thursday. And so it was very refreshing and able to help me catch up, because I was kind of like, wait, what did I read on Thursday night? And then I was able to go back and reference it. And it's excellent analysis. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area joining me on Dueling Tangents for the rest of today's show. And every Tuesday going forward between now and Election Day. If you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. And we'll be back with some of the key points and takeaways from where in Wisconsin your focus may want to be over the next 5 weeks. This is Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.
Said I'm pulling down the shades for the long ride. Never knew that I could feel so black and blue. And I've been holding on.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. He's off playing Superman. But I'm joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. And Dan, I wish we could be talking about some of the other things that caught my eye when I was unplugged this weekend. The new trailer for Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever, I think looks amazing. I don't know if you're a big fan of Marvel or not, but I am. And I saw that one and I was like, oh, this is so cool. Oh, it's after the election day. I can't focus on it right now. And we got the Kurtelberger coming back here in Wisconsin and all these important things that I wish we could talk about. But
Buck season coming up.
The Buck season, know. Yes. Unfortunately, the Brewers, kind of their own making, and the best 50-game start that the Crew ever had. And
hang the banner.
What?
Hang the banner.
Yeah, hang that banner. Hang that solo banner. It's unfortunate. And I love the Brewers and just what happened this season with so many. They played the teams at the level that they were playing, that the teams they were playing play at. So they were able to beat good teams. They played good games against good teams, and then they played terrible games against terrible teams. And they lost too many of those games, and so that season, They were on the margin. They were fighting. They were the first team out, though, of the playoffs. They got eliminated last night. And I believe you were tweeting shortly thereafter. You were like, okay, time to focus on the Bucks, so you don't have to feel bad about it one bit now.
It used to be a joke where you say, hey, Bucks season's right around the corner. And now it's real.
Yes.
Now the Bucks are the best run franchise in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. And you could talk about
say it aloud.
But it's accurate. It's weird to say out loud, but yeah. It is extremely accurate. And right. I wish we could talk about, you know, Giannis's new obsession with Skittles over Oreos this season, because whatever that man is doing is always intriguing. But we've got some very important races here in Wisconsin that require our attention over the next 5 weeks. And so, Dan, at the Recombobulation Area, you wrote up this analysis of all of the 99 assembly districts. What's almost most disheartening right off the bat is how many of these seats are just not competitive. There's a handful that, you know, may get more interesting, but essentially your analysis boils down that there's 10 competitive races out of the 99.
Yeah,
that's not a great amount. Does that indicate a healthy democracy, Dan, if only 10 of your 99 assembly districts are competitive?
Well, you know, we're just talking about sports. I'm a sports fan. I like competition. I think competition is a good thing. I would like to see more of it in the Wisconsin State Assembly, because under these new maps, which take what many considered to be the most gerrymandered state legislative maps in the country and made them even worse, there are just fewer and fewer competitive districts in each cycle. So I used a formula from my friend John Johnson from Marquette University, who calculated a seat lean for each individual district.
Okay.
And that, you know, essentially gives Republicans 35 safe seats where they have more or less in almost all of those seats, they have a double digit seat lean margin. So there are more safe Republican seats in the state assembly than there will be seats held by Democrats, period. In all likelihood, of course. So yeah. It's not great.
Ultimately,
what this boils down to, sorry.
And to point this out, how did we get here, I guess? Because so 35 of those seats are safe Republican seats. And this is a new set of maps. These districts have never been voted on before. We are going into the first election that these assembly district maps will be in place for. And so I think it's important to point out that there was nobody. And this isn't like an exaggeration, hyperbole. It's not anything. There was no public, besides Robin Voss himself, who is the architect of these maps, there was not a single person when the legislature held the public hearing on these maps that testified in favor of these maps, Dan.
Right. Yeah, it was a 9-hour public hearing last fall, and there was all kinds of opposition to them, but no support. And, you know, through a fairly convoluted court process, we ended up with the Republican maps. Not to just yada, yada, yada over a important storyline, but this is where we are now. And we're going on these maps now.
There are a lot of episodes, and for the listeners in the audience, there are a lot of episodes of Dueling Tangents where if you search maps of least change, you will get past episodes of Dueling Tangents where you can hear Brian and I bemoan that legal process that Dan just yada, yada, yada over. But like you said, this is more about the analysis of these maps and where we are. Let's get into it.
The rubber is meeting the road here. So this is where, and so like you said, there are really 10 competitive seats of the 99 in the state legislature. You know, maybe you could maybe add a few more in either direction, what have you. But the truly competitive seats with kind of smaller seat lean margins and competitive districts and swing areas of the state, there's really 10 of them. So I had those broken down as there's one genuine toss-up, which is the 94th district currently held by Democrat Steve Doyle in the La Crosse area. There's four close races with Democratic favorites and five close races with Republican favorites. And, you know, this being the midterm year where there is a Democratic president, Republicans have a built-in advantage. They have the history on their side in the midterms. So a lot of these kind of 50-50 seats would typically lean Republican this year, just as they would have leaned Democrat in 2018. And because of that, you know, we currently have 61 Republicans in the Wisconsin State Assembly. And that number is likely to go up under these new maps. There are a couple districts that were just really blatant gerrymanders, one being the 13th district in suburban Milwaukee, which now Lieutenant Governor candidate Sarah Rodriguez flipped in 2020 from red to blue. Republicans moved the goalposts on that seat about as much as they did anywhere, taking it from a 50-50 seat to one that has a 16-point Republican advantage.
And so that's a large...
Really kind of gifting themselves.
Yes. And that is a huge aspect of what gerrymandering does, is it pads the specific districts and makes them less competitive. So when you do... Only three assembly seats flipped from 2010 to 2020 under the maps instituted in 2012. Sorry. They were drawn in 2011, and from 2012 to 2020, only three assembly districts flipped from Republican to Democratic. And the 13th was one of
them. In the Milwaukee area, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so rather than, you know, say, well, let's try to have a candidates meet more attractive to that changing demographic in the 13th assembly district, let's just completely change the lines, and we're going to, you said 16-point favorite in the 13th that got flipped. Wow. Okay, so that area is now less competitive, but there is some races still to watch in the Milwaukee area for where there may be a competitive assembly race.
Yeah, the Milwaukee suburbs, particularly the Milwaukee County suburbs, are really a battleground in these state legislative seats. Most of them have been trending to the left in recent years. Cities like Wauwatosa, West Allis, Whitefish Bay. These are places that have trended to the left, and like you mentioned, three of them were seats that flipped for the Democrats under old maps. And there are a few of these seats that are really going to be key to this election to prevent a Republican supermajority. So there is a path for Republicans to increase from 61 seats that they currently have to a 66-seat threshold that would give them a veto-proof supermajority, which I don't really think anyone wants to see what type of what Robin Voss could do with a supermajority.
And not to point out that it's more likely to that is a more likely outcome than Democrats just winning an outright majority because of these new maps.
That's correct. So under these maps, and again, Wisconsin, perhaps the most closely contested 50-50 state in the entire country, there is a better chance that Republicans will gain a supermajority than Democrats will gain a simple majority.
So it's more likely that Republicans could maintain a 66-seat threshold in the state assembly, a 22-seat. The state Senate looks so gerrymandered that it's almost assumed that the supermajority is going to exist in the state Senate. And we'll save that for another edition of Dueling Tangents. But here, so it's more likely that Republicans will have 66 seats than Democrats could even get 50 seats in the state assembly. And there are a few, though, that may flip potentially either from red to blue or blue to red. And one of those is in the Milwaukee suburbs, and an interesting candidate. I was a little shocked because I was not following this individual as close as you may have as being from the Milwaukee area. I thought he was going to be kind of gone, but Bob Donovan is coming back and is in one of these competitive, potentially flippable seats for this November.
Yeah, Bob Donovan just lost election for mayor of Milwaukee a few months ago when he was apparently living in the city of Milwaukee. Now he's apparently a resident of Greenfield in the south suburbs in Milwaukee County. And he's running in one of the most competitive races in the state. And he is facing Lou Ann Bird, the Democrat in the district. She's the former executive director for the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, has served on school boards in her area, worked with the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, a really great candidate, it seems like, running for state assembly in the 84th district in kind of the south and southwest Milwaukee suburbs. And it's a seat that's currently held by Republicans, but it was kind of made to be a little bit more competitive by making some of the neighboring districts less competitive. So this new 84th district, Lou Ann Bird will face off against Bob Donovan. And it is a slight Republican lean to the district. So the Republican, Bob Donovan in this case, is a slight favorite. And I think this will be perhaps the top race to watch in the state assembly, because it's probably the best chance for Democrats to flip a seat. Donovan is obviously a pretty well-known guy, having run for a mayor of Milwaukee and gotten absolutely destroyed two different times.
I would say worse this year than in the last cycle. So he managed to lose. And I guess I don't pay so close attention to the Milwaukee mayoral race as you. Did he run as a Democrat when he ran for mayor? Is it a nonpartisan
it's
office?
It's a nonpartisan. Okay. Yeah, it's a nonpartisan office. You know, I think he had endorsements from many Republicans when he was running, but I don't think he had, you know, it's a nonpartisan office.
Yeah. Okay, so he's officially running as a Republican, though, for this seat in the 84th Assembly District. And this is going to be one to watch. This is going to be an area of the state, specifically this 50-50. This hypothetically would have went plus Biden by a point or so. Is that correct from the analysis I saw?
So, yeah, this was Biden won this district by about 2 points, but it is overall, you know, it has like a slight Republican lean to the district in the new maps. So I think this could be one of the most closely contested ones on the map. You know, it is a Republican favored district, but it is probably the Democrats' best chance to flip something. Okay. In this election.
So a winnable spot for a flippable district in the 84th Assembly District, but there's also a couple of currently Democratic represented districts in northern Wisconsin that may flip away towards the Republicans, and we're going to get into that in this next segment, as well as maybe some of the top of the ticket issues too, because it's hard not to talk about Ron Johnson any of these days. He finds a way to get himself into the news cycle with some absurd thing that he's saying every day, it seems like. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but we're joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, talking the analysis that Dan has put together on all of the legislative races here in Wisconsin ahead of the November election. We are 5 weeks away from Election Day, so you're going to want to stay tuned for more analysis. Maybe get to a couple phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. If you want to find out what he's up to, go to civicmedia.us. Sign up to learn more about what we're doing here at Civic Media. You may be listening at a fine Civic Media radio station near you here in Madison, Devil Radio, in Waukesha on the Shaw, in Richland Center on Radio from the Center, and in Amory, Wisconsin, Lake Air. And we are joined we're joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, because Dan is... How many pots of coffee, Dan, did it take? Are you a coffee drinker, or what's your motivation?
Big coffee drinker.
Okay.
Lots of coffee.
Because that's kind of how I pictured this. When you send out your weekend tweet saying, good morning, fellow parents, you get the pot of coffee, and then you go into some legislative district analysis. And then...
That's right. A lot of this analysis was put together while my daughters were asleep. So.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's excellent analysis, and you're breaking down all 99 of the legislative races. You also did is there 15? There's 15 up this year for state Senate, or is there 16?
17, actually.
I don't know how to do math. Folks, it's a Tuesday, but it's a Monday for Luke, and I don't like to do math on the radio. So yes, 17 this year. And so we'll get into those a little bit later, but of the 99 assembly districts, about 10 of them are competitive from the numbers that you've broken down with a variety of different inputs. John Johnson from Marquette University helping with that lean district lean number as well. And two of the ones, so we last segment discussed one of the closely watched assembly races in the Milwaukee area, the 84th, that could potentially flip from Republican to Democratic. And in northern Wisconsin, there's a few districts that could do the opposite and potentially lead towards that supermajority that Robin Voss is going for in the state assembly. And so, in part, that's because there are two retiring Democratic representatives up in northern Wisconsin, and also political trends, unlike Milwaukee, that's been trending more blue, northern Wisconsin has been trending more red. And so can you give us a brief description of the races up in northern Wisconsin and the area where Democrats may lose some ground when it comes to this November's midterm elections?
Yeah, so there are a record number of retirements this year in the Wisconsin state legislature. So regardless of how the elections turn out this fall, there's going to be a lot of turnover. So like you mentioned, some of the key districts seeing some of that turnover in northwestern Wisconsin, in the districts bordering Lake Superior. The 73rd district, Democrat Nick Milroy is retiring. And in the 74th district, there's a retirement. Beth Myers is retiring there, the Democrat. And so those two districts were both won by Donald Trump in 2020. And so they are likely to flip from blue to red. So that would give, you know, that along with, like we mentioned in the last segment, the 13th district in the Milwaukee suburbs, that gets the Republicans already to 64. And so there are a number of other districts kind of around in swing areas around the state, places that are typically, you know, hard fought regions. We're talking about western Wisconsin, where Steve Doyle is the Democrat in the 94th, and that is basically a 50-50 district. We're talking about the 54th district, which is Oshkosh, Wisconsin. That's a swing area. The Fox Valley, I think, is totally underrated as a swing area in the state of Wisconsin. And Stevens Point, another one. Eastern Kenosha County is another one. So you're talking about all these kind of different battlegrounds that are in the state that basically, if Republicans are able to pick off two of them, they're able to reach that 66 seat threshold.
Yeah. And so it's going to be a very interesting November. 5 weeks away, we've got it narrowed down. We know where the focus is going to be over these next 5 weeks, because these are the, with very gerrymandered maps, you have fewer competitive races, and therefore you've got fewer paths for a supermajority or a simple majority to be had. And so when it comes to those areas of the state, we've seen the trends, like you said, the Fox Valley specifically, very, very swing. As goes the Fox Valley, so goes Wisconsin potentially this November. And where do you see some of these races going? When it comes down to it, as you mentioned earlier, the rubber is hitting the road. When it comes down to it, is this going to be all for naught? Are we going to go through it all and everything's going to look the same? Or where do you believe we're going to end up 5 weeks from today?
I think it's pretty likely that Republicans get to that 64 seat threshold that I mentioned with the 13th district and with the two Lake Superior area districts as well. And I think it's really going to come down to, you know, those Milwaukee area seats, the Fox Valley area seats, Stevens Point, Eastern Kenosha County. And I think Democrats should be able to prevent a supermajority. Not a sure thing, but I think it is certainly more likely in the Assembly than in the Senate. And like you said, we can get to that another time. But one of the projections that I used was a site called CNalysis, and they projected all 99 seats in 2020, and they got 98 of them right. So using their projections as well, they are giving Republicans about a 40% chance of getting a supermajority. So obviously it's 40% chance is a pretty good chance. So, you know, if this would end up being, you know, the type of wave election that kind of Republicans were hoping for, you know, that is the type of outcome you might see. But I don't think this is necessarily shaping up to be the 2010 style wave election. And if it was a wave election, it would probably mean Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson were to win as well.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying to think of what the state would look like if that occurs. But I agree with you. I believe the red wave, as some on the conservative side of things like to kind of co-opt after the blue wave that did sweep through in 18 and to a lesser extent in 2020. Not very creative, I guess. They just like to copy the same idea and throw a different color on it. But I have a feeling that the political landscape is always changing here in Wisconsin. And it's just going to be something that we're going to have to continue to keep an eye on, continue talking about and informing individuals on over the next 5 weeks. Because 5 weeks flies by. It feels like it's still far away, but it's coming. Dan, one more.
If you're in one of those cities like Oshkosh, Appleton, Neenah, Kenosha, Mount Pleasant, La Crosse, like these are extreme. Your vote is going to go in a long way towards determining the future of politics in the state of Wisconsin.
It is. Folks, Dan Schaefer for the Recombobulation Area. You've been listening to Dueling Tangents. Tune in tomorrow at 2. We'll be back then. Talk to you later.